minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. That's Colfax on the other side of the bulletproof glass. How are you, man? How's life?
So good.
Yeah? Things are things treating you okay?
Yeah. Yeah. No, weather's changing.
Weather's changing. Today it's cold, though.
I know.
Yeah, it's going to be like this
I'll
all week.
I'll say that, but it keeps me off the roof for another week, so I'm okay with it.
Hey, are you ready for that? Going to be on the roof.
Never.
You lost the March Madness Challenge. You'll be on the roof with the sign that says you lost. We had an intern make that like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And which you got to feel really robbed by this, though, because you actually won this thing.
I won.
You didn't just beat me. You beat everybody that played.
Yes. Three years ago.
We didn't do anything for it.
Nothing.
We didn't
just
have
good job, buddy.
We didn't do a side bet that year.
No.
Normally, I used to shave my head when I lost. I used to, I think there was one more thing. Oh, I dyed my hair blue 1 year.
Yep.
And then you came along and we were like, let's not do it anymore. And then you won.
Yeah.
And then the next year we said, all right, let's make this thing interesting. Side bet. Let's come up with something. Neither one of us wanted to shave our heads too badly.
No.
And, we just thought the roof. Somebody had suggested that maybe. I don't know. Maybe Hulligan suggested that.
Might have been.
That you go up on the roof and, or that one of us goes up on the roof.
And it sounded good at the time.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to win again.
Yeah.
Well, hasn't happened since. I've taken near the bottom the
were
last
you
there, two times.
Were you near the bottom this time?
Yeah. I wasn't on the bottom. I was near.
Yeah, that's big. You don't want to be at the bottom of that thing. You know? It's just crazy that we had 75 brackets filled out in this thing, I think, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
And the spawn of Dixon's son wins it and... Hulligan, right?
Yep.
And then McLean gets second. And then I get third. Of all these people, we got Hulligans that are finishing in the top one and two.
That's why they're Hall of Famers.
I guess that's why they're Hall of Famers.
Yep.
Well, to be fair, I think most of the people that enter our bracket challenge are Hulligans. Some, we did social media invites and stuff, but most of them listen to the show. But not all of them text.
Right.
Not all of them are Hall of Famers.
Right.
McLean and... Does this automatically boost Dixon's child up into Hall of Fame status? He won.
I think so.
I think if you win a contest like this, you automatically you earn your right. It's kind of like the automatic bid in college basketball. If you win your conference or whatever, you win your tournament, you're already in.
Right.
So it doesn't matter.
So you win a competition here, you get a little plaque on the wall, like the wall of champions or something.
Yep. Whole show bracket. There's the whole show bracket challenge. There's Top Text Tuesday winners. There's our fantasy football draft thing.
Yep.
And although Will Smith has won it twice in a row now. See, that's the thing. We get a lot of good players, talented players at this stuff. Maybe we need to just say, hey, if you're any good, don't enter our contest. Stay away.
Keep it fair here.
Yeah, keep it fair. Eastside Chris, no. Take on Lakers and send it. Oh, okay. I asked the question. I always forget my own questions.
Yeah.
Would you like to see the Nuggets drop to 6 and just avoid, because they got some work to do if they want to get to 4 or to 3 and not play the Lakers? Or do you just say, hey, stay where you are, keep trying, you're probably going to take 4 and then just play the Lakers? Would you like to see them maybe drop a few games that they're supposed to win? Maybe they don't, they rest Joker late in the 4th and they just kind of concede a game early? Or do you want them to go push and see how close they can get to 3, even though... You might risk it and stay at 4 where the Lakers are at 5 and you'd have the Lakers in the first round.
Well, here's the question. I have not been following LeBron's comeback yet.
He's still out. I don't think he's coming back until I think maybe 2 more weeks. Is it supposed to be late April?
And when do playoffs start? It is mid-April. It's the 14th.
Oh, so late April.
Okay.
Playoffs start must be, is it June? It's got to be June, right?
Oh, okay. So he'll definitely be back.
Yeah, he'll definitely be back for the playoffs.
He'll definitely be back for the playoffs.
He'll probably play about, 10 games before the playoffs, kind of tune-up games.
Gotcha.
Who knows? He can probably come back now, but they might be just saying, hey, we'll just wait.
You know what? I don't hate playing him in the first round because he might catch him sleeping.
You might. I mean, at some point, the old adage about Tom Brady is some point he's going to slow down, right?
Yeah.
Well, is that the same thing for LeBron? He's not really showing any signs, although this injury is kind of a sign, I guess. He said, Chris says no. Prove a point. Send a message. Remember the bubble. They lost to the Lakers in the bubble, though. He said, Chris. Lakers will be at full strength. Get through them, and we'll make a good playoff run. If you get through the Lakers, then you've got to feel like, hey, nothing. I mean, yeah, the Jazz and the Suns will still be there and the Clippers, but, I mean, the Lakers were the favorite to win the title this year, and if you could knock them out in the first round, that'd be insane. I don't know. I've never been too crazy about playing the whole standings game as far as, like, just win. I've never been nuts about, you know, they don't, like, forfeit. They don't just, like, lose. But they'll say, hey, there's 7 minutes left. It's a six-point game. The Suns are up. Let's pull Joker. You know, instead of make that final push to win, let's leave these guys in. Or let's leave Joker out there, but, you know, we'll sit down Aaron Gordon. We'll sit down a couple of our stars. Porter Jr. grabs some rest for the next night. I've never been that big of a fan. Malone does do that, though. He did it 2 years ago. Kind of did it in the bubble. Remember? We didn't even feel like, remember when they started all their seven-footers? They had all their seven-footers. Yeah. Kind of had, because they had to, but Malone was kind of fine with that. We don't really care. Because they didn't, they weren't like tremendous. Their defense was the worst defense in the bubble at that point. They were awful. So Malone plays that game. I don't know. I'm not really that. I kind of like getting momentum and just getting the best record that you could absolutely get and then see where the cards fall. See where everything. But you are three games behind the Clippers now. I mean, so you're starting to, what are there, 19 games left? And so you're starting to lose ground here. Can you make up three games in 19? Yeah. Can you make up 6.5 in 19 games? That's how much you're back with the Jazz. You'd have to go on a hell of a run. I mean, the Jazz are 7-3 in their last 10. I think that's the first time in like 5 weeks that I've been able to say they're not 8-2. That's kind of been their trajectory. They just keep going, you know, 8-2 in their 10 games. 7-3. The Suns are 9-1, though. They just won't slow down. And their schedules are all pretty easy. I looked at those last week. All right. Percentage chance here, Hooligans. Someone just asked me this a moment ago. What percentage chance did you give the Nuggets to win the title pre-Jamal Murray injury? Were you at 50%, 60%?
I mean, I put money on it. So,
so you're at 100%. 100% hopeful.
100% chance, yeah.
I would go high. I was going high.
A lot higher 50. Than what the wise guys are saying.
Right. I was going high.
Yeah.
Where are you now?
I still think it's possible.
It's definitely possible. I mean, I think Nikola Jokic is an MVP. He should get the MVP. And I guess he's going to have the chance to prove it.
Yeah.
Now more than ever. Because an MVP elevates your team. That's why Steph Curry, people say, well, Steph Curry's numbers are ridiculous this year. Why is he not in the MVP? Because he's not elevating his team. The Golden State Warriors are 26-28. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. They are a bad team without Steph Curry. But MVPs elevate your team in basketball. Football, it's more of a stats game than ever. Basketball's still a stats game, but you also have to have the wins. You have to have the wins, and you need to be a top-tier team. So Steph Curry is not in that mix. LeBron James is probably losing out on that because just by being out and the fact that there's been no movement up or down with the Lakers. The Lakers are 6-4 in their last 10. They're sitting in fifth place. They haven't dropped since. They dropped one spot. I think they were in fifth and then fourth, and then the Nuggets made their hell of a run, and they went on that 8-game winning streak. That knocked them up to fourth. But they're only a half a game ahead of the Lakers. Like, the Nuggets have been in fourth place for a while now, but it by no means is that a safe spot. If you flip with the Lakers, all that does is, yeah, you lose your home court advantage, which is important. If you go to a game 7, you want to be able to play that in front of your fans at Ball Arena. So if you flip and the Lakers take over, then you're playing game 7 if it comes to that in L.A. If you drop 6, you play the Clippers in the first round. Or if you overtake the Clippers, then you'd play the Blazers at this stage. So I guess if you drop to 6, you're probably going to play the Clippers. And basically the question is, who would you rather play in the first round, the Clippers or the Lakers? And probably the Clippers, but Clippers have revenge on their mind from last year. I think the Jazz, they're going to be a dangerous team. The Clippers are going to be a dangerous team. They're already dangerous teams, but because they lost they were up 3-1 last year to the Nuggets, you know every possession is just going to mean a little bit more against Denver. So that's the question. Do you want to play a Lakers team that was picked to win? LeBron James has been out for a long time, but they're still the favorites to win this thing. Or do you want to play a team like the Clippers and the Jazz that really hate the Nuggets for beating them 3-1, and now they're going to take this series even a little more seriously than they would take any other series? That's the question. What's the better matchup now that you don't have Jamal Murray? You know, I mean, Jamal goes off against the Jazz. You don't have that guy. So, I mean, Jazz, I'm definitely not wanting to, which you wouldn't have to play them in the first round unless you drop all the way to 8. See, I don't like the game of playing to lose to 6, because what if you play that game, but then you accidentally drop a few that you didn't want to drop, and you end up in 7th, and you got to play the San Antonio Spurs or the Golden State Warriors for a play-in game? I mean, do you want to play the Warriors for a play-in game? It's a dangerous game to me, so I think you just keep trying to win. This year, more than ever, you can't drop 7 and 8 just because of the way the play-in game, the rules are. So, no, I think you go out and you try to get up there to that top spot. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. Dixon saying, at this point, without Murray, let's just let the cards fall where they may. If the Lakers screw it, bring them on. I'm kind of like at that point. Screw it. If it's going to be the Lakers, you're going to have to beat them anyway. So go beat the Lakers. Noob says, I was at 73.25%. Well, that's specific, to win the championship. Now I'm at 50.25%. 50's still good. 50's still good. McLean, we don't have time. Or luxury. We don't have the time or the luxury of trying to lose or win to get a certain seed. We need to find our new identity with these remaining games. That is a key point. That's what you're going to be like. Before Murray, Colfax, if Murray didn't get hurt, you know what we'd be talking? I already had it in my head as I'm watching that Golden State game. We're going to be talking about Jamichael Green, Paul Millsap, and JaVale McGee, and Malone's weird rotation with them, and the fact that this bench looks absolutely lost. And a week ago, we were saying, wow, Denver has their depth back. They look really deep. Well, the problem with that is Murray goes down, so you had to force, and Morris was out too, so your depth was forced to, your big men were scoring lights out. I mean, Jamichael Green was scoring lights out, Paul Millsap. You're deep there. That's not the issue. Where your issue is guards. And I guess forwards too, because look at your backups. I mean, it's if you start Monte Morris, it's Facu Campazzo as your backup, who is not known as a scorer right now in his young career. Well, he's not that young, but his rookie career. He's not known as an elite scorer. He's an elite passer and a solid defensive player and a hustler. Morris is known as a scorer. PJ Dozier, we don't know enough about him yet. We don't have that scouting report on him in the NBA yet, a real one. Because some games you're going to get some good stuff. Some games you're going to get some bad stuff. Some games you're going to get some average. You're not seeing great stuff from PJ Dozier yet. So you don't have a scorer there. Who's your next scorer? Like, who's going to be that guy? Zeke Nagy? Another rookie? I like him. I think he's a nice player, but this isn't the year that we're going to see him elevate. So, really, the question becomes, who on the bench can lead this team when Joker's sitting down? When Porter is sitting down? When Aaron Gordon's sitting down? And Barton sitting down? Barton's a scorer. You can love him or hate him. His inconsistent play, whatever. He is a scorer. He's a slasher. He's going to score the basketball. You're putting that much pressure on Monte Morris. And then you're saying, hey, if JaVale, because Millsap is, for right now, it's JaVale and Jamichael. Like, JaVale, Jamichael. It's their job to lose as far as coming off the bench for Gordon and Joker. Millsap has been, I think, has been moved down. So we might not see him, other than certain matchups. So you look at that bench, where are you getting the points? Morris, okay. PJ, that's a question mark. Jamichael, I'd say that's a question mark. JaVale, question mark. So this is why on the starting lineup, you need to see this team go nuts when they're in. Michael Porter Jr. probably needs to get to the point where he's at 30 points. Yeah, that's a big jump for where he's averaging right now. Because this depth's scary. You know, I know in the playoffs it doesn't matter as much because you're only going to go like 2 to 3 deep sometimes, depending on the team. But, you know, you're right now you're trying to figure out this bench. You need your starters to give you all the breathing room that you can get. So Porter's averaging 17 points per game. I need to see him jump up there. you know, quickly to the 25s, 26s, start getting some 30-point games because your starting lineup, there's more pressure on your starting lineup than anybody on the bench. You know why? Because you don't expect Monte Morris or P.J. Dozier or Jermichael Green or JaVale McGee to be those leaders. McLean says we're going to have to sign someone like Austin Rivers. Yeah, that was the name yesterday. Noob brought it up, and then our Nuggets insider Harrison Wynn said, hey, that's an option. Somebody tweeted me to send J.R. Smith's available. You need scoring. You know, I don't know if you're that desperate yet, but you do need scoring. You know who would be nice to have as a backup right now on the bench would be Carmelo Anthony or Danilo Gallinari. I said both of those guys, whoa, would you like to see Melo come back? Would you like to see Gallo come? Now, obviously, that's not happening now because trade deadline's over, but man, wouldn't that be great to have a Danilo Gallinari coming off the bench? There's another scoring threat. But can't play the what-if game, can't play the wish game. This is where you are. Guys like Austin Rivers, pretty much the only option at this stage. Is Nate Jackson available? What's Nate Jackson doing? He's back in the league, right? Now, it's intriguing. Either way you slice it, a lot of pressure on the MVP, on Nikola Jokic, on Michael Porter Jr. You're putting a lot of pressure on him. In a season, really, where this was the year he was supposed to make the next step. I think it's fair to say that Porter did take that next step. Jamal didn't. I know he got hurt and all that stuff, and it's sad, but I don't feel that Jamal Murray, when you look at his season, was taking that next step. I know a lot of people would argue with me, but I looked at his, you know, he had some amazing games this year, but he also had some games where he just kind of disappeared. And, you know, when Joker's averaging, what's he averaging, 27 points per game? You know, that's a legit number. He was averaging 21 points per game, Jamal, this year. It's better than, you know, his career average of 16, so he's definitely raising that up. But I was ready to see him on Donovan Mitchell, in Donovan Mitchell territory. Like, every single night, get ready, he's going off. Steph Curry territory. But he's not in that territory yet. As much as I predicted that would happen, it didn't. So, Michael Porter Jr. made that step. I don't know that Jamal did. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. When we come back, more on the Rocky Mountain Showdown. It's getting going again. So a very cool story coming out of Colorado State that I want to get to as well. So we'll get to all that and more coming up. We'll take a short break. You're listening to The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
You're listening to The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy on 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
I'll tell you guys about the chiropractic standard. I went in there again today. Excuse me, I have one more appointment, and then we kind of go from there and assess. But again, I'm happy to report. I tell this to them and the chiropractors, and I'm like, I'm not joshing you here. I've heard all these other clients when I'm sitting here, they're telling me how great it's been for them. I'm one of them now. Like, I'm pretty skeptical about most things, Colfax. I'm pretty skeptical. And I'm thinking, okay, whatever it is they're doing, it's not going to work for me. But I have zero pain. Zero. In my, kind of around my shoulder blade, my right shoulder blade, I just had so much pain there. Some days was okay, some days was really bad. I went to the chiropractic center, they put together a plan for me, and it worked. It absolutely worked. Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. What I also like, too, there's other things. Like, I have, you know, when I lift weights, I'm so off balance sometimes that you'd start to build muscle, kind of favor one side over the other, and you'd put a little more strain. And I had something going on with my chest. And so even though I'm there to get my back looked at, I start telling them about this, and they start working on that. They have this group text thing from their business that sends out reminders for your appointments and all that stuff. Is also a follow-up saying, hey, you might check into this, blah, 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 about, you know, this certain stretches you can do, certain things you can do to alleviate that pressure. So even though I went for a certain thing, they're helping out with other things along the way. And I really didn't even think I could bring it to them because it's like, okay, well, no, I'm here for this. You guys aren't going to mess with that. But great people at the Chiropractic Standard. They will be changing their name officially to Rev. We'll get that information out to you very soon. But if you, for sake of going to their website and searching them out, you're going to still find them under the Chiropractic Standard. Tell them I sent you from the whole show. And I tell you, it's a phenomenal thing when you find something like this that actually works. And I know people are skeptical about chiropractors. I know. I was one of them. You know, whether you've gone or you've never went, you think it's all just cracking and popping and all this stuff. It's not that. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Power to Play Sports poll question is available. Who do you blame in this this Nolan Arenado debacle? When it's all said and done, who is more at fault? Jeff Breidich, Nolan Arenado, Dick Monfort, or do you say Rockies fans? Because I was scolded today. Basically somebody saying, hey, you guys are the problem. Addressing the Rockies, talking about the Rockies, covering the Rockies, carrying the Rockies on KFKA. You're the problem. So essentially the fans are. They continue to support this team, which means that no one's holding Dick Monfort, Jeff Breidich accountable. They're going to continue to do these things because they're still making the same amount of money, whether they spend millions upon millions on one star player or not. You're going to go for a mediocre product. The Rockies are 3-8 right now. I'm not really a big boycott guy. I haven't had that in my life. I mean, I'm not saying it won't come up, or I'm like, I'm just not going to support that product. There's shows and stuff I won't watch if I really disagree with the way they do things. And maybe some businesses, but it's not like a flat-out boycott. You know, I've just never been that guy. So, I mean, to me, it's like I'm a sports guy. We got a professional baseball team in our backyard. Maybe they're good, maybe they're not. For the most part, way not. Still like watching them. I put the game on last night. Rockies are getting torched. Although, come on, that was a strike. Sensatella in the bottom of the third. It's 2-0. Sensi's got a full count, and he hits him with a mean curveball. It's inside the strike zone, a little digital one that we get to see at home, and the ump just, nope, ball four. That's a walk, and then that's when all hell broke loose. I'm not saying the Rockies would have won, but it's 2-0. They were down 2-0. Sensatella's trying to have put together a pretty good inning there. And that was it. I'm not blaming it. I'm just saying that was a pretty crappy moment. And then I saw our guy, Drew Kreisman, go off and saying that this is why they need automated strike zones, like robot strike zones back there. What do you think about that? Eliminate the human element of the umpire back there calling strikes and balls and such?
Back in my day.
So you want to keep it the same? You want the guy there?
Yeah, keep the guy there. Why not?
I kind of still like...
It's part of the game.
It's part of the game. Human error is part of sports.
You learn the ump, right?
Yeah, I still kind of like it.
You pitch to the ump.
That's part of the character of the game,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Like when you see a ref that you don't really like in basketball that you know doesn't like Joker, you can say you hate it and you're arguing about it, but still it's part of the game. Yeah. You know, I still think, because we like to hate the umps. You're not going to hate a robot. There's no arguing ever. And that's the fun part about sports. We don't want to get to the point where everything is 100%,
perfect.
Right? Perfect. There's no arguing. Half of our shows are arguing a call that was made the night before. You're not going to have that anymore.
Well, the NFL tries to get it perfect, and they can't get it perfect.
They can't get it perfect. Remember, the first down line that you see, the yellow one, it's not official.
It's not official.
It's not an official
line.
Don't
get your hopes up.
Don't get your hopes up, folks. They got the pylon camera that's supposed to be right there when they go. They still have to review that for 7 hours before we find out. So, no. What happens if the ball hits the strike, like the robot, and it like messes with it?
See? Then you're just ejected from the game.
And it takes over.
Hurting the robot. Ooh.
The robot takes over.
But see?
That's what I worry about. I think it's still part of the game. I think that could be a good poll question. Should they have an automated strike zone? Should they have a robot? I think they have the technology to do it because you can measure out where if the ball leaves an area that it's measured out, it would say, no, this is a ball or this is a strike. Flying Dutchman says, without a salary cap, it will continue to be a league of haves and have-nots. Rockies are a great AAA team. I mean, it's hard to argue with that because the Rockies have only been to the playoffs 5 times since 94. Dixon says, you can't have an automated strike zone. Players need to know immediately if it's a ball or strike. You can't wait. How does it get communicated? No, I think it's instant. It's like, yeah. It would be instant. That it would say it. You got a little robot that just goes, walk.
Steve Reich.
Yeah.
Just like that.
They record like an ump, and it's just the same ump's voice every time. Steve Reich. Or they don't even say anything on a ball. They don't like the ump's most of the time. No, I think that with this technology, I think they have it, don't they? I mean, because a lot of people that I see on Twitter are like, make it happen already. Well, then you're assuming that they have the technology. I mean, I guess they do.
Absolutely.
So, and it would be instant. No, they wouldn't have to go review it in New York every time. That would make baseball. 8 hours later, the Rockies lost to the Dodgers 8-0. They got to, like, go back and... No, it would be instant. Like, they'd have a little laser around it or whatever, and as soon as that ball touches the laser, it's a ball. And then I think it would tell you instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
We have the technology.
We have the technology. Dixon says you can't have an actual robot on the field. That's a safety issue. And who calls plays at the plate? I don't think it's actually a robot.
I think it's a joke.
No, it's like there's going to have something with sensors. Yeah. There's going to be sensors around it. So you wouldn't run into it.
No. It'd just be a little camera behind.
I would imagine. That's what it would
be. A couple cameras.
It'd be like a camera on it.
I mean, I don't build these systems, but I'm sure the people that do.
They're
know
not
going to
put
be.
Like the Jetsons nanny back there. You know, I can't do her accent right now. Yeah. I can't think of how she talks. Strike. No, that's not it. They're not going to put that back there.
No.
Like rolling around. And then they bend over and they dust out the plate and all that stuff. Like they're not going to do that. Although that would be
pretty awesome.
It'd be pretty sweet.
I mean, it's the future.
It's going to be like a camera. That's going
to be,
yeah. But that's a good point. Who calls the plays at plate? Like, whether a runner's safe or first, or safe or out, run into home plate. Do you just have to have one of the umps run up?
No, the robot.
That's where you have the rolling robot.
Yeah.
It comes out of nowhere. Like, it senses when there's a runner going to home, and it pops up out of the ground, and it's like, and it, like, focuses in on that runner. It, like, yeah. You probably would just have to have an ump that stands close by, but doesn't make the call. Like, there's still an ump there, but he doesn't make the call strike or ball. He's just there. Who calls the ball? I think you still have an ump back there.
Slippery slope, man. I think they need a robot.
Yeah, and are you so sure, Dixon, that a robot back there is going to be a safety issue? The robot's smart. It's getting out of the way, unless it turns on everybody, which is my biggest fear about robots. As soon as they do... turn, you're in trouble. The Flying Dutchman. It was great watching the Australian Open without linesmen this year, and it was instant. The technology is definitely there. We put a robot on Mars. Yeah, we did. That's the thing. The technology is there. So you just have an ump that hangs back and just makes sure everything goes okay. And then as soon as there's a play at plate, he runs up and there he goes. So you still need an ump there, but this is more or less the strike zone. This is just the strike zone. We're working with that because they do get it wrong. Although I don't know that I'm for it, though. Like, but now I'm kind of interested to see all these robots.
If there's a full-blown, like, RoboCop back there, then I'm in.
Yeah, they got, like, sunglasses?
Yeah. No, like the movie.
Yeah, no. Oh, RoboCop!
RoboCop.
Yeah, that's right. But he has, like, the...
Well, like the laser.
The little laser thing, like the Star Trek looking thing.
Yeah.
Humble Gary says they should have the robot miss a certain small percentage of calls so we can still see players flip their lids.
Love it.
There's like five times in a game that it's like, ball. And it like does a little giggle. Players, oh, Charlie Blackman loses his crap.
Could you get ejected for flipping?
Probably.
Flipping out on the robot?
Don't make the robots, man. That's how the war starts.
That's how it starts.
That's how the war starts,
baseball,
my friend.
Umps.
Or not all robots are the exact same. So there's small variances, just like with actual umps. Yeah. Oh, this guy again. Get him out of here, you bum. You loser. Get some glasses. Yeah, I think we need to automate our responses to everything. We just have it.
Love it.
Yeah. Dixon, you have to have immediate response time on plays at the plate because if safe, they have to try and throw out elsewhere. You'd have a guy there. You'd have an ump still. Not even standing that far from the camera robot, RoboCop guy. The ump's like there with him. You know, making sure he doesn't turn. Like the ump has like, you know, a water bottle just in case he needs to dump on the robot and electrocute it or something.
No, I've got the solution. We just need like cyborg umps.
Yeah.
Half human, half robot.
We have that too, don't we? We have that technology.
That's what we need. We've
seen the Avengers.
Because then the immediate response time, they're right there.
And they're still
human.
But
they're never going to screw up. But
no.
They're still human.
They're still human. They still can feel.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I still just want a regular home back there.
It's easier. It's part of the game.
I think it's part of the game.
And I don't think putting the robots out there advances the game. I don't think that draws more fans to the game.
No, it doesn't. Getting the play right doesn't make more people want to watch.
No.
Because look at the NFL.
Yeah.
We never know. How many pass interference calls are so damn obvious to anybody, and you still come back and watch? You know, the NBA is one of them that maybe loses fans. Because I've had a lot of people on Twitter say, this is why I don't watch the NBA, because the way they call fouls. Like, the umps aren't necessarily out to get somebody. It's just their view of it compared to our view, or compared to another person's view. Texture. Oh, we got CXT3575 behind the plate again. Stay away from that inside corner. See, but you're right. Like, what you just said is why you like the human element in sports. Because it's like, oh, yeah, you know, stay, watch out. This guy likes to, if you're too far outside, be careful. Because he's got a big strike zone, or he's got a small strike zone. I mean, I think you're right. That's part of the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to change
and
it.
And that's something marketed correctly could draw more fans in the game, be like, oh, that's an interesting aspect I didn't even know about.
Yeah, right.
So I could...
He said, Chris, what happens if a batter gets grazed by a pitch? Congrats, Chief Dixon, on your point. Such a kiss. I don't know. I think we'd know. I'm promoting the use of an ump. I'm saying that. But if you go robot route, you still have another... You still have another, like a real person there,
right,
calling real stuff. This is 100% strikes and balls. That's it. Like, it's not calling anything else. The other ump would be there and go, hey, you hit the guy in the head. You take your base. You know, oh, you're out at home. Yeah, you're going to have an ump there still, I would imagine. Dixon, and it could shoot the baseballs back to the pitcher at like 200 miles per hour, which would help speed up the game. Yeah, that part would be good. I'd like that. 40 minutes after the hour, we got to get out of here. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, then there you have a whole entire movie coming out of this. The robot ump that had feelings. You know? Like, it's day after day. Same thing. Strike, strike, ball, ball, strike, strike. Good game, guys. And then suddenly he, like, starts to feel feelings, and you have a bunch of stuff. That's not the only thing that Major League Baseball is experimenting with. The Atlantic League, an 8-team independent partner league of Major League Baseball, will experiment with moving the pitcher's mound back 12 inches in 2021. The league announced Wednesday. The Atlantic League will also test a double hook rule in which the DH designated hitter is tied to the starting pitcher. Once the starter is removed from the game, the team loses the designated hitter. MLB has partnered with the Atlantic League to test various rule changes in recent years. They also tried the 2019, the automated strike zone. Here's a quote from MLB consultant Theo Epstein, and said in a statement, "Fans, players, and many others in the baseball community have expressed an interest in seeing more regular action on the field. Therefore, it's important that we use the 2021 season to explore various ways to create more frequent contact." It's baseball doing what the NFL is doing. They're saying, hey, what if fans want to see more? That fans, players, and many others have expressed an interest in seeing more regular action on the field, meaning you want to see that ball and play more. Is that what you like seeing in baseball? You want to see the ball and play. You want to see it getting hit more instead of just either pop fly and it's over, or strikeouts, or whatever.
I guess my lizard brain would prefer that, but yeah.
Yeah.
I like the chess match between the pitcher and the batter.
That's my favorite part of baseball.
Yeah.
Is I like looking at a pitcher, you know, great pitching games to me are better than seeing a guy get two or three home runs in a game.
I agree.
I'm not a big home run derby guy. Don't need to see a ball hit. I mean, trust me, they're magical moments when they're your team and they're doing the Rockies could certainly use some of that. But I like watching great pitching. But it's just like the NFL. We're a dying breed, apparently. Defensive-minded people are a dying breed. You know, I want to see better defense in the NFL, but the NFL said, no, fans want to see more points, so we're going to make it harder. And if you even look at the quarterback, you know, that's going to be a penalty. If you even sack him, but you don't sack him correctly, that's a penalty. Now, they've changed the rules. This is baseball doing the same thing. On one hand, I applaud baseball because baseball's knock has always been, well, that's the way we do it. Sorry, it's the way we did it with Babe Ruth. It's the way we're going to do it now. But at least they're trying. The designated hitter thing's not. Well, they need to get rid of the whole. One league has a DH and the other one doesn't. It's so stupid. Just that's where I get irritated with them. Why don't you clean up some of the easy things first? Like have a league wide, Major League Baseball wide rule. Don't have certain rules for this and then certain rules for the National League. That's silly. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, got to take a short break. We'll get to what's on TV and closing thoughts. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Donate to the Live United 13 Tenathon by texting KFKA, all caps, to 26989. Give up to $100 and you could win a signed pair of Terrell Davis cleats. Thursday, April 22nd.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
I think I'm starting to sell everybody on this whole robot idea. I don't like the whole moving the mound back, though. That's silly. This could be fun. I might go to Coors Field just to see the ump. On strike three, the robot could have some awesome punch-out dances, ringing guys up and then doing that Michael Jackson moonwalk. That's entertainment, baby. Noob says they should use the Steve Urkel robot. I vaguely remember that. I had to look it up. But yeah, Urkelbot. Talk about a show that was like Family Matters, right? Family Matters. It's a family show. It's fun. It's a regular sitcom in the early 90s. And then suddenly, Urkel's making robots, and then he has an alter ego, Stefan, and that show just was like sci-fi suddenly. Family Matters went from this to that really, really quick. What a weird show. Humble Gary says, let him juice. How much more fun was baseball 20 years ago? Oh, yeah, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa, like, turned colors, though. You know, he literally turned colors. He's like a different color now than when he played back in the day. And I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying, was that something to do with, I don't know. So you got to be careful with that. But some people are like, we want them to be able to juice if they want to, because we don't have the home run wars that we used to have. And those were exciting times. Everybody loved that Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa home run race. That was some damn good times. It was great baseball. Eastside Chris, you hit a home run. You must answer an Aaron Rodgers question correctly to touch first base. He's killing it on Jeopardy. He's absolutely killing it. Somebody couldn't answer a question about the Packers, but they answered a question about the Celtics or something, and he's like, really? Really? You got that, but not the Packers? What's going on? I'm all in. He's got my vote for Jeopardy, right? I have to check Jeopardy with the game show.
Yeah, that's me.
The game show guy over here.
Does he come back to play in the NFL next year? Is he going to be?
I think he's just doing it for a week or something.
Well, it's been 2 weeks now.
Oh, has it been?
Yeah, that was last week, right?
If Jeopardy calls him today and says, hey, we're going to pay you whatever, you win. Do you think he'd take it?
Yes.
You think he would?
I think he would.
There's part of me that thinks he'd be like, yeah, I got a title. This is fun. He seems like a Jeopardy guy. He might make Jeopardy like a lot of younger viewers might start watching because of just his demeanor, the way he is. Yeah, I'm in. That might make me want to watch. Like, if I'm watching, I'm flipping, I see Jeopardy. Oh, check to see if Aaron Rodgers is on. Yeah. I'll go there. All right, 5 minutes until the top of the hour. We got the Herd with Colin Cowherd. It is the block party. We'll have some of it for you tonight. And then Rockies, Dodgers, John Gray going to the mound. We shall see. Good night, Northern Colorado.